Back in 2010, a few years before we launched Carrot, I had an idea and also had a problem. The big problem I had was we live in rural Oregon, a small town, about 25,000 people called Roseburg. We love the town, such an amazing town. But we couldn't find the people that we wanted to surround ourselves with. We couldn't find the group. We couldn't find the networking opportunities to find other people, especially young people who wanted to make things happen. So myself and a friend, we launched what we call the Young Entrepreneur Society. And the Young Entrepreneur Society has gone on to be the most active entrepreneur group in all of rural Oregon. So there's Portland, Bend, and Eugene, which is pretty much, those are the biggest three cities in Oregon, add in Salem. But our small town has one of the most active, vibrant entrepreneur communities in all of Oregon. So why did that happen? Well, it happened because we were crazy intentional with recognizing the need and the importance of community, the need and the importance of surrounding ourselves with other people who are doing amazing things that can help lift us up instead of siloing away in our own offices or into our own buildings. So the same year, we started the Loft Entrepreneur Co-work Space, which is 8,000 square feet downtown Roseburg, Oregon, where Carrot is actually based out of. And we have other amazing, amazing businesses here. So the reason I'm saying this is every single month we have what we call pub talks. And pub talks are where between about 40 to 70 people get together here in the loft, and we actually have an amazing, amazing discussion with the speaker. It just so happened to be that I do the first one every single year, and about 2 minutes into my talk this time, one of my team members came up, and also Seth Buechley, a mentor of mine, said, we got to get this on audio. We got to record it. And so what you're listening to today is an audio recording of that pub talk I did in January 2018. It's kind of updating people on my journey, but also pointing out some of the important things I had to do as a human being, as an entrepreneur, to really live a charged life, to really live a life that was going to unleash me into the world so I could make the biggest impact I wanted, so I could make the most income that I could, and that I could also be the happiest in business, because I know so many people who are insanely rich but are insanely unhappy too. So with this talk, the audio quality isn't amazing. It's a little bit muffled in spots because where we put the microphone, but you should be able to hear everything. My voice is a little bit quieter than it normally is in these podcasts, so kind of tune in, maybe turn up your speakers. And also, some of the stuff on here are some things you've probably never heard me talk about before. So hopefully you resonate with some of the message. Some of it won't be really directly connected with you a whole lot. When I talk about my energy audit worksheet, which I give out to the live crowd here, you can get that for free as well. That energy audit worksheet changed my life completely in 3 years by doing this 15 to 20 minute exercise every quarter. So go to oncarrot.com/energy, oncarrot.com/energy, and you can download that same energy audit that literally I do every quarter that absolutely changed my life from being overworked, not really crazy fired up about the individual work that I was doing, no real passion or no real clear purpose in how I was going to go out there and tackle the world with my business, into the opposite of that. Most of the work I do today is energy work. Most of the work I do today really amplifies the impact I want to make in the world. And you can do it with that worksheet. I walk people through it in this talk. So hopefully you enjoy this talk. This is a live talk I did here in front of about 50 people here at the loft. And most of the people in that room are entrepreneurs. They want to be entrepreneurs. There were actually three of our customers there. One of them here locally, and two of them that are the largest real estate agents, the number one and number two agent in all of Minnesota, 5 years in a row. They flew in for the week, and they're in the crowd as well. So have an amazing time. Go to oncarrot.com/energy. And grab that worksheet. And also, go to iTunes and give us a rating review. If you enjoy the energy audit, if you enjoy this episode or have enjoyed any of them, help us get over 100 reviews. Okay, we're sitting right on the precipice of getting over 100 reviews. Spend the 4 minutes. Please, please, please go over there. And that's how we get this message in front of more people, so we can help to change the way people do business. All right, hope you enjoy the talk. So reversing there, once I would kind of figure out my own method for identifying limiting beliefs, things that were holding me back, and how to actually blast through them, that's when things started to kind of pick up for me. That's when it got exciting, because from that point on, no longer was everything out there a wall. Everything was an opportunity. I'd see doors in the wall instead of this barrier in front of me. And after that, like I said, kind of going to the marketing journey, one thing that every single person in this room needs to get great at is being a great marketer. And I think a lot of us really discount the value of being a great marketer.
I don't care if you sell toilets. I don't care if you are a personal trainer. I don't care if you're a bricklayer. It doesn't matter what it is. You need to be an amazing marketer. If you're a pastor in a church, if you're a CPA, you need to be great marketers, because what great marketers are, all that is being able to clarify an idea in your mind that has value to someone else, find the best way to get that in front of them so they accept it and they see the value and that they want to interact and engage with you. And way too many people focus on the widget that they're building. If I just build the most amazing widget in the world, I'm not saying that can't happen, sometimes it can. If I build the most amazing widget in the world, therefore everyone will come to this thing. But I can come and build a mediocre widget with better marketing and get it in front of more people and help more people. So I'm not saying you should build mediocre widgets, by the way. Build the best widget. But then that kind of dove into my marketing journey and recognizing that marketing wasn't about me going out there and trying to extract something from someone. All the marketing is how do you provide the most value to that person, so much more value than they're ever going to give you, and how do you make sure that they recognize that value? So when I wasn't doing a good job selling my marketing services, I just like stopped midway through that first year as an entrepreneur. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to try to sell this anymore because I'm already not selling it. Like I'm trying, but no one's buying it. So I'm just going to go find someone that I could, in a limiting belief, could never sell a marketing service to. I'm going to go to them, find ways I know I can help them. And I'm going to say, here's things you should do. It's going to help your business. I will do them for you for free. And if I can't sell a service for free, it's going to be really, really hard to sell one that's a paid service. So that second half of that first year as an entrepreneur, I was selling free services. I was broke. I didn't have any income coming in other than some real estate, which if you guys own rental properties, I know the guys there in the back do own a bunch of properties, so that's kind of cool. Carrot customer right here in the front, two Carrot customers from Minnesota who flew in for basically 24 hours to hang out here, and we spun around town, which was pretty sweet. That was awesome. So I had some rental properties, but I was asset rich, cash poor, I didn't have any money. And so we was going out there selling free marketing services to people who had plenty of money to pay for my services. But the only reason I did that was to get my foot in the door, to provide value. And I started to learn this thing, like, man, so if I can be, there's this book called Go Giver. Everyone in this room needs to read the book, The Go Giver. It's like an amazing book. And The Go Giver, the whole parable is basically, everyone's out there trying to grab and get their own. If you just go out there and provide so much value to someone else, it comes back to you in spades. And that's what the entire rest of my career has literally been. It's how do I go out there and provide so much value to this person, so much value to this person, so much value. That's why this group is here. I don't make money doing this. For the first 4 years of this group, I showed up every single month, didn't ask for anything at all. I paid for most of the beer and pizza for like year two, three, and four. And there was no way in sight that I could possibly see how to earn an income here. I'm just like, I want to combine this community, and there's something that will happen. I don't know if it's in a year or 20 years. And I know there's been so many amazing things that have came my way because of this. The Loft, Seth, Sam, like I can keep on going, like these great relationships and business partnerships we've got, like all because I went out there and gave without asking for anything. So that led into Carrot, magical, like we'll erase that whole 7 year span or 6 year span, but that led into Carrot. And Carrot today is a software company. We have 18 full-time employees now, 3,500 active customers from around the country. We help real estate investors and real estate agents, but mostly investors, house flippers, people who are going out there flipping a lot of houses. We work with the biggest house flippers in the country. You go into any city in the country, and we're working with the biggest guys usually, and a lot of others. So that's what we get to do every single day, is really serve these people who are going into their communities and beautifying their communities. They're buying rundown houses. They're buying houses that are derelict. They're fixing them up, getting them into people's hands that can live in them, and serves and builds everyone's value up in those communities. So we get to serve them in a big way, and it pumps us up. And this is a lesson here that I want to toss out to everyone here. Is the businesses that we're running, the thing that we're selling, like we're really pumped about being the best in the world at what we do. And I'm confident that we are the best in the entire world at the craft that we are. And I would debate that to the end. We are the best at what we do. So you've got to be the best at what the heck you do. And I think it's not worth doing if you don't want to be the best, right? Number two, there's just no fun in that. So you got to be the best, or at least try to be the best, go for the best. But you've got to provide an amazing service, but on the back end, that's not what pumps me up about this company. That's not what pumps me up about this company at all. The conversations we were having today, you know, you guys are coming in here about how do we ramp this up, and they're the largest real estate agents in Minnesota 5 years in a row. and they fly out here and they're like, we want to start really ramping up the investment side. So we could have talked about lead generation all day. 10 minutes of lead generation talk, 20, I don't know, half an hour. We talked about life. We talked about how to build a business that serves you and that serves other people. We talked about, you know, building businesses that have mission and purpose. We talked about how do you make sure to build a business that doesn't trap you, you know, that really unleashes you. And that's something that if I could get nothing across tonight, I have no slides. I do have some cool handouts we'll talk about. This will help unleash you guys in 2018. But if I could get no message at all across tonight, it's this right here. It's that way, way too often we go into business for the Fs, the freedom, the flexibility, the finances, right? That's not the only reason we go into business, but almost everyone that goes into business because they want more freedom, they want more flexibility, the finances have an opportunity to be bigger, and then a lot of people impact as a part of that equation too. But what happens is if you build a business the wrong way like I did in the past, you lose your freedom, you have less flexibility, your finances might be okay, but you have no time to do any of it. And that's where I got really trapped in my previous business. You guys might have heard the story before that I was making good money. You know, as a mid-20-something-year-old guy making low six figures a year, but was miserable. You know, I wasn't wanting to get up in the morning and do the work that I had created for a job for a company that I made. And that's like the worst thing in the world, that I could have made anything and I made a job that I hated. And there's a few things I'm going to walk you through how I transformed from 80% of my time being things that zap the energy out of me to 80% of the time things that give me energy today. And this worksheet right here, if you do this every quarter, this is going to change your life. I'm not joking. Don't overlook the simplicity of that thing. So cliffhanger there. So you can't leave right now, otherwise your year's going to be terrible. So I'm going to walk you through, I call it the energy audit. So that's one thing you got to really recognize is that a business can trap you and a business can unleash you too. And I think every single person in here, the impact that you can make is when this business actually amplifies and unleashes you. It's not this thing that you clock in, you punch in, you're putting in all these hours, but it's trapping you, it's boxing you, and that can happen way, way too easily. I've done it before. The next thing is business shouldn't be just a self-serving thing. You know, I think in my previous businesses, I think almost everyone starts this way where you're running away from something when you start a business. You're running away from the job you don't like. You're running away from the low income you don't like. Whatever it is, you're running away from this terrible schedule. So you're usually running away from something. Somewhere along the way, you start to run towards something. And the businesses are the people that don't transition from running away from something to running towards something more exciting. That little phase right there, that's when you start to feel miserable in the business you're running. That's where I was. Because originally I was running away from having no income and I didn't want to go get a job. I've never had a real job before. I didn't want to get one. So it's like I was running away from this possibility of whatever that was. And all that I was trying to do was just make the income that would make that possible. Make the income so I didn't have to go apply for a job. But what happened was I didn't make the mental shift once the income was there, that magical $4,000 a month number that is kind of like the number a lot of people have in their brain. Man, if I can just make $4,000 a month, then I can leave this job and whatever that is. And then the next one's like, man, if I can make $10,000 a month, then it would be, you hit those numbers. And like Seth's book, Ambition, says, get the book, by the way. Seth's book, Ambition, says it's like you always feel discontent with that thing. You hit that number. And then it's like, well, I did that, and there's this other person here, and then I'm going to go after that. You're just not happy. So for me, I was running away from this thing over here, and I never made the transition of my previous businesses to latch my mind into running towards something more exciting. That towards something with Carrot is our mission. It's the impact we're making. It's amplifying leaders to go out there and make the impact you guys can make. There's so many entrepreneurs and so many businesses that are trapped in a business because they don't have a predictable, consistent business model, okay? You might be making good money. You might be even making $500,000 a year, but you're hustling, you're stressed out. You don't know, you can't predict what your income is going to be in 3 months. So what happens is you mentally get locked into this thing where you've always got to be doing the hustle. You're always discontent. You can never feel like you've actually achieved because you don't have a consistent, predictable business model. That's got to be something that you can predict out 2-3 months out. Here's about what our income is going to be. And you've got the systems to do so. You're good, man. So that's one thing right there that I really want people to latch into, that there's certain things in a business to go before you go into the business, look at the darn business model. If it's something that you've got to be selling and hustling that kind of stuff all the time in order for it to be predictable, consistent, then you got to say, am I wanting to do that? Or do I need to hire someone to do that? And with Carrot, that was one of the core things with this business. We're like, I'm not going to do consulting anymore. I'm not going to be like selling one-off products anymore, at least as our core product. Every single thing that a customer comes in to purchase with us, they pay over and over and over again because we're providing more and more value. We're providing a service that makes sense for them to have an amazing ROI and amazing value that they're paying monthly or yearly or quarterly for. But I'm going to talk about that transition where I shifted from running away from something to running towards something. And like it's in that transition that my income personally probably went up 10x in a course of 3 or 4 years. Shoot, more than 10x. So my income, it went up 10x plus in 3 or 4 year span because I stopped running away from something. I started running towards something more exciting. I stopped looking at income. I started looking at how to actually provide so much value and go out there and rather than how many units or widgets can I sell, now it's like, how many people can I reach? The more people I can possibly reach to spread this message, that you guys can create businesses that empower your employees. You guys can create businesses that amplify your communities. You guys can create businesses that are actually fun and meaningful, and people want to work in the businesses because they're a better version of themselves in the business than outside of the business. As soon as you create businesses like that, for some reason, clients are attracted to you. People email you, and you want to fly halfway across the country to hang out with you for 8 hours because there's something behind just the widget, right? There's something behind just that the thing that you're selling. There's the mission behind it too. And there's a few things I'll walk you through to help you kind of march towards that. It's not an immediate thing. No one's going to write down on a piece of paper, magically have this epiphany tonight that, oh my gosh, this is that thing. It's a process where you have to like, it's like an onion. You have to peel back these layers and all this crust and all this stuff that's getting in your way of seeing what your purpose and mission is. I know for me during that phase when I was making the transition from running away from something to running towards something, I'm sitting there banging my head against the wall figuratively. Like, it's like, why can I not find my purpose, right? Who in here wants to find their purpose and hasn't found it yet? And like, just be honest about it. It's awesome. Everyone knows their purpose. That's amazing. That's awesome. I love it. Yeah. And some people definitely do, right? And if everyone does, if everyone's fully convicted on their purpose at this stage of their life, that is flat out amazing. And I'm like so humbled to be in this group of people. If you are looking for your purpose still, and I feel personally that purpose does shift and change with the phase of life you're in. But during that phase, like I would come up with something that I thought was my purpose, you know, something that looked good on a wall, something that seemed exciting. But in my gut, like you can tell when it's it. It's when every single thing you do is automatically leading toward that thing, whether you're thinking about it or not. It's your business activities. It's at church. It's at home. It's the things that you're doing with your friends. Like they all lead towards that same thing. And with me, it keeps on coming back to amplifying leaders. Like I just love it, you know, working with, Corey and Hugh, amazing friends and pastors at church. Like is there any possible way I can do something to pour into them in any way so they can amplify our church body better? Is there anything I can do for Sam or anyone else to help amplify their customer base or their clients better? That's really fires me up. So I'm going to run through this. I'm kind of random right now. I know I don't really have a structure. I kind of had some slides set up, but I decided not to do them. So you guys are going to have to bear with me on this. But there's one thing here that I think is like so important to be an amazing high-performing person, but also being happy in life, is I call it the energy quotient. And it sounds kind of weird, but in 2012, during that phase when I was trying to make the transition from making good money but I hate things to how do I actually have something where I'm like every day getting excited about my work? And when you're excited about your work, everything starts to go your way in a lot better way. Your income can grow and your impact grows. And during that time, I sat down. I'm like, I kept on hearing from someone else that you should be spending the most amount of your time working what they called your unique ability. Has anyone ever heard the term unique ability or unique genius or anything like that? Yeah. So, I think you're in there a lot of the times in what you're doing with your stuff, right? You are. And now I just need to get the business model part of it working, which that's the easy part. Finding your unique ability and like getting in there is really hard work. So unique ability during that time for me, I thought unique ability was the stuff that I'm good at, the stuff that other people would say I'm good at, the stuff that makes money, the stuff that's like sustainable. And that was completely opposite of what the truth is, I found out. You can actually be spending your time and the things that you're really good at. If it's a business, things that are making you the money, and it could be the opposite of what you should actually be doing. It's zapping your energy out. And for me, I started to recognize that in 2010, 11, 12, where like, why am I not excited to do this work? And I would sit down and write it on a piece of paper. I'm like, what are the things I'm doing this week? And I would like start to circle the things that I liked and the things that gave me energy. I'd put like a star next to things that brought revenue to the business. And over a course of 2 or 3 years, I started to recognize that very, very obvious stuff, that certain things you do in life give you energy and help amplify the best version of you. And certain things in life zap energy out. Obvious stuff, right? It could be working out. Like we built a gym in here because it gives me energy. And I realized after 6 years, I didn't want to roll in my fitness goal to the next year again, 6 years in a row. This year, I'm like, that's not happening. Let's eliminate every single thing getting in the way of me working out. And it just so happened to be hiring a personal trainer, coming in here, having people work out with me, and putting the gym in the middle of our office so we can't avoid it. But so with the energy work thing, and I want you guys, like I said, you guys can grab some of these. Actually, let's pass some of these out real fast just so you guys have the concept. Why are there some pink ones? There you go. Thanks, man. I think our printer started to die. And those of you that don't get the cool orange ones, you're going to get the pink ones. So this is something I want you guys to grasp. And take this thing, copy it up. When you get to the house, we can actually give you a URL where you can go download this thing. If you do this thing once a quarter and you're religious to it, like I guarantee this will change your life. So this went from me spending 80% of my time zapping my energy to now 80% of my time giving me energy and really amplifying the best gift that I can give to the world. So as you guys are getting a little worksheet, and you don't have to do it now. If you got a pencil now, do it, but otherwise do it at home. What I want you to do is in your day, in your weeks, I want you to start to recognize what are those things that actually give you energy in life. What are the things that give you energy in the business work that you do? And I'm talking when you're done doing the thing, you actually physically have more energy than when you started. This thing right here, honestly, I was really tired before I started this. I'm going to have more energy by the time I'm done doing this because I really enjoy doing this stuff. Last week I did probably, in 2 day time span, I lost my voice. Last week I did like 11 hours of phone calls and 2 webinars. I love it. It gives me energy. I had to take a break after that for a couple days, but it gives me energy. And a lot of people look at that and go, man, that's like, that would be the worst thing in the world. But it was the right types of phone calls. It was working with the right people. It was working on strategy, things like that. So I'll kind of give you a real world example of how this changed my life over a course of 3 or 4 years and how it can change your guys' too. And if you do this, this will help you have a better year this year. You won't feel it as much this year. You will next year for sure. So for me in 2012, I'd wake up I had a 2-year-old daughter at the time. We were getting ready to have a boy. And my wife would go to work, and the kids would go off to babysitter, and I'd get out of bed at 9:30 or 10. Worst dad in the world. Okay? And then I would go eat some breakfast. I'd probably still be in my pajamas, because it's the cool work-at-home like lifestyle, right? Working your pajamas at your kitchen table. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Because that sounds cool. Not cool at all. So you go do that, and then I would go up and write some emails, like email copy, marketing copy for our products. We'd work with some customers. I'd come up with some marketing ideas. I'd go and execute some marketing ideas and some marketing systems. We'd do some promotions, things like that. So all stuff that is really interesting stuff. But at the end of the day, I love thinking of the idea of the marketing concept. And Sean can attest to this. Seth can attest to this. Like, I will just lay out a marketing plan that's going to crush it. I need to walk out and someone else do it, execute it. What I was doing in 2010, 11, 12, I was executing marketing stuff and executing running the business 90% of my time. And I thought that I loved that stuff. And I hate it. I absolutely hate it. It drags me down. I'm not good at follow through. Sean can attest, I'm really, really bad at follow through. I'll start 14 things and have, you know, 14 things halfway done. I've got 3 halfway finished books on my nightstand. I'm trying to get better at that stuff. And the more that I surround myself with people that are awesome people is the more that I can then focus in and pair things and have less but better. That's what I'm working on now, is less but better. So I'd be doing all these things. Then I met a friend of mine, Greg Clement. And Greg Clement, really successful entrepreneur, man of faith, amazing person. Seemed like he had this balance. Like you see those people and you're like, man, that person, like, they've got it. They've got the balance. They've got whatever it is. Whatever it is I see on the outside, I want that. It seems like they're working the hours that I want to work. It seems like they're doing the interesting type of stuff that I want to do. It seems like their job, like their actual day, is kind of like what I would want to do. They kind of like weave in and weave out, and they've got people working around them who are great. I'm like, that's it. And he was 30, he's 5-6 years older than me. And so whatever it was, I'm like, but I have no clue how I can ever get there. He's got a team of 20 people. How am I ever, gosh, how am I, do I have to build a team of 20 people to get to there? Then you just see this massive wall and this whole journey, like, oh my, there's no way I'm going to get there. And it's kind of like the whole saying goes, right? You got to eat an elephant, you take it one bite at a time. So I sit there and I go, okay. So if that's the ideal of what I thought looks amazing, he goes in there and he does strategy. And then his team executes. I'm like, I love strategy. It fires me up. I love mapping out someone's marketing strategy or a business strategy or a business launch strategy. Then I really hate executing the thing. So I'm going, okay, how can I just do strategy and not execution? I have no clue because I'm doing 90% execution, 10% strategy right now. Another thing I love to do, which I wasn't doing, my business partner was doing this in the business. Like, I love coaching and teaching people about topics I love, right? About topics I'm really passionate about. But I wasn't doing any of it. I'm like, man, in this business, how am I going to do that? Because this guy's the face of the business, not me. I'm the guy behind the scenes running the thing and kind of the Wizard of Oz guy behind the scenes. He's the guy running it. He's the face. I just can't do that in this business. So I wrote that down. Like, I love coaching and teaching things I'm passionate about. Working out gives me energy. This gives me energy. And I started going through my week, and I started circling, you know, adding all these things that drain my energy. Executing marketing, writing emails. Like, you can just keep on going down on the list. Anything financial or accounting related, other than strategy around it. Like, I love the strategy side of it. So I created that list, and I didn't have this document then. This, I actually created this last year to kind of codify what it is I've been doing for the last 6 years. It's been working for me. And every single quarter, I'd sit down with that piece of paper, I'd draw a line down the middle of it, and I go, okay, let me write down every single thing that I'm currently doing in my life, not just business, that drains my energy. Everything. Just sit there and think, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And it could be certain tasks. It could be this. It doesn't matter if you think that they're critical to your business or critical to your life. If they drain your energy, write them down. It doesn't mean you're trying to eliminate them. I'm just saying write them down. On the other side of things, write everything that gives you energy in life. As you recognize it, it's like, man, I love doing that kind of stuff. I have no clue how I'd make money doing that or how I could transition from this to that if that was my full-time job. It doesn't matter. Write it down. If you dive in and you do this type of work, you're like, man, I love that. Write that down. And every single quarter I do this, my drains energy side is way longer all the time than my gives energy side. There's probably not too many things that are the thing that give you the most energy. It's probably less than 10 or 15. But drains energy, the world throws so much stuff at us, so many things at us, especially with social media and the ease of connecting with people all the time through your cell phones and events like this. And like, the world throws so many things at us that look amazing and shiny and bright that, especially when you start to get some traction and success and whatever it is that you're doing, everything looks awesome. Everything looks awesome. Like, I think I can do that. I could do that. I'll do a little bit of that. Let me do that too. And all of a sudden, you've built up this massive just commitment of stuff. And while you're being more successful, you see more opportunity. That's a blessing. On the other side of it is you oftentimes don't catch up your mental mindset on how to actually pick the right opportunities. Everything looks like a great one. So then you start to build this massive subset of drain energy things. So we take on more and more commitments instead of focusing deep on one thing. And then what we do here next is you've got your big old list, and this is where the magic comes in. I'm telling you guys, like, this can change your life if you execute it. You've got your whole list there on the side. Circle the 1, 2, 3 things that are the things that you're like, man, I really want to get rid of that. That's just killing me right now. Even if you don't think you can get rid of it for whatever reason, circle them and then write down how many hours per week you're currently spending doing each one of those things. So this one over here could be anything around bookkeeping, you know, 5 hours per week or whatever it is, and this over here and this over here, add it up. So let's say it adds up to 11 hours in a week you're spending on those three things that are absolutely draining your energy. Okay? Down at the bottom, now you write your energy quotient. So on a given week, what percentage of your time is in gives energy versus drains energy? For me, it was 20% of my time was giving me energy. 80% was draining in 2012. No wonder I'm unhappy. You know, no wonder I wasn't wanting to get up in the morning and do the work that I had created for myself, because it absolutely zapped me. I was hating every bit of it. So I'm going, okay, if every single quarter I can just nudge that ratio a little bit more and more towards the gives energy by taking 1, 2, 3 of those things, adding them up, okay, that's 11 hours in a week that those three things or two things are costing me. I'm going to go over here and circle one over here. I'm going to go, okay, I'm going to eliminate those somehow. I'm either going to decide to not do them at all anymore, or I'm going to get someone there to do it, or I'm going to create a process to get rid of it. Like, eliminate it, get someone to do it, or create a process. And then you go, I'm just going to do that thing now. I'm going to take that 11 hours and do more of that. And that right there is how I started to go from, you know, 20-80 to 25-75 to, you know, all the way up to 80-20 now. And also how I made the mindset leap and how I really built a business around something that I love, how I built a role that I really, really love to do now. And we coach our team on this as well. And I was going, man, so if I can just shift it to 80-20, then I can actually like provide my gift to the world a lot better. I'm not getting dragged down every day. I'm out there being amplified in what makes me the best me, and I can help make you the best you. I can't do that if I'm hating my work. I can't do that if I'm dragged down every day. And every single one of us in this room, absolutely, I'm not going to say you deserve it. I'm saying it's your absolute duty to not be working in a job that is draining more energy than it's giving you. And I know that's probably hard for a lot of people to accept. I know that it was hard for me to accept at that time. It's like, yeah, but we're doing great work. It's like, oh, I just got to stick it through. I just got to stick it through. This is just a phase. It'll get better. Like, it won't get better unless you change it. It won't get better unless you change it. It'll probably actually get worse if you're not actively changing it, because your boss or whoever it is going to go, well, they must like their work. They're not doing anything about it. They're not changing it. I'm just going to put more in there. I'm going to put more of that stuff that they hate in there, that they aren't saying that they don't like, or that they're not making actions to change, right? So it actually gets worse. And there's some tough decisions that some people have to make in this room. Some of your bosses or spouses might hate me for saying these things, but life is way too short to not make these decisions now. One of the things in 2012 that kind of sparked my change was my brother's best friend at the time was 34. I had three kids in good health. Died in his backyard, had a brain aneurysm. He was there 1 second. They were talking about retirement in 30 years and what life was going to be like, and he didn't make it to dinner that night. So for me, I started to look at that and go, man, I'm sticking through this, and I'm hoping things will change. And Nick over here now has no extra time to change anything. His kids don't have a father anymore. And I'm sitting here like doing things that aren't serving me or anyone in my life. And it's a complete waste of my time, complete waste of everyone's time. And I'm completely wasting Nick's time that he no longer has anymore too. And so in that moment, like I changed, I'm like no longer okay to do the work that I'm doing that I'm not liking. Like it's flat out no longer okay. The cool thing is every single person in this room has the ability to change it. Even if you don't think you do in your current job, I bet if you came at it from a different angle and added a lot of value to that business or that job, or found some way to add value that maybe you guys aren't, your boss might actually find a better way to put you in a position if you hustle and hit it hard enough and add enough value that it might get you more and more into a spot that you like. Not a guarantee. You might have to leave that job, right? You just might have to. They're tough decisions. They're not easy. If you make the right move and you actually march toward energy work and you march toward giving and providing value, you're not going to regret it in 5 years. And that's one thing that I am really, really big about. I was talking with Dick Baltus a little bit ago for the Verve magazine, and really cool story. Dick actually used to own this building. Everything that you see cool renovation-wise, they did. So kudos to Dick Baltus and BBG for all the amazing work that enables us to have this great space. But we were talking, he said, man, so... He said, so what is it that is kind of one of those keys that helped you do what you're doing in business. And I said, so, man, I think one of the keys is I think about risk in a completely different way. I think about risk the opposite than most people do. Most people look at risk as what will happen if I do X? What will happen if I leave that job? What will happen if I start this business? What will happen if I go skydiving or whatever it is, right? The way that I've always looked at risk is what will happen if I don't do that? And you're 100% guaranteed a result if you choose not to take a chance. You're 100% guaranteed the result that you can no longer have the chance of because you didn't take that chance. If you do if you do take the chance, usually the worst case scenario is a lot better than we make it out to be in our brains. As a quick example with my transition and my story, in 2012, I was making, like I said, over $100,000 a year, and that's not the most important thing in the world because I was miserable. So I was making good money. From the outside in, I think everyone thought I was like just had it made. Business-wise, I was very ungrateful. I wasn't really a very faithful person. I'm talking like faith for God. I wasn't going to church in that time. So at that time, I just was not happy in life in general. And so as I was really starting to look at things, I'm like, man, so this all is very safe and comfortable here with the normal comforts that we all think that we want in life, right? We have money to pay the mortgage. We have food to put on the table, a little bit of extra money to put away. We're going on trips, things like that. Got the car, got the house. And I was going, would it be worth it for me to walk away from every single thing that provides that comfort for a chance of having more happiness, for a chance of maybe I can make a bigger impact and actually help people a lot more, for a chance of going like, can I see the best version of what I can actually do as a person? I absolutely knew I could not do that in what I was doing with my previous business. So in that time, I wrote down everything. I'm like, what are all the things I'm currently working on? I had investments in 4 businesses. I had my full-time work in one of my companies. I had real estate. I had the Yes Group. I had like all these other things. I started writing things down. I'm like hacking stuff off. I'm like, that no longer. Either I buy that whole business or I have him buy me out and I'm done with it. That I'm giving all of my shares back. It cost me a bunch of money. I don't care. This right here, my main business, it was my main income. I told my business partner, like, dude, I love you. We're still really good friends. We get together a couple times a year. Lives in South Carolina. That was the thing that made me, really good money. I said, I just need to separate from this. I love you. We're still going to do some things together. I just need to try something else out. You name a purchase price. I will not negotiate. Just whatever price you say, I will say yes. I wasn't interested in negotiating. I wasn't looking for money. I was looking for full separation so I could do what I thought would be the thing that could get me to really the best version of myself and my impact. He gave a number way lower, like a tenth of what I thought he would. I said yes, happily.
Should use a CPA.
Yeah, exactly. I said yes. He even said, can I pay you over 6 years? I'm like, yes. I got my last check about 6 months ago or whatever it was. And from that point on, I went, okay, now I've like decluttered my life. Now I can actually go out and do it. I can like rebuild it. I can do what the heck I want to do now. So I got rid of that business. I talked to another guy that I invested in a software company with. I'm like, Chris, we're either going to do this or not. I've either got to buy the whole company or none of it. I love you, but we're way too alike. We just can't run this together. So we're still good friends too. He bought me out, like, cool. I have some real estate still, but cash, poor, asset rich kind of thing, I had some consulting contracts coming in to pay the bills. My wife had a great job, thankfully. We had a little bit of money in the bank. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to make the job in the business that I wish I would have made 5 or 6 years ago. I sat down and wrote what I called the non-negotiables. I've got 5 of them. Have fun was the first one. I wasn't having fun in my previous business. Second one, I don't know if they're in this order. I always forget one of them. But predictable and consistent. When you have a predictable, consistent business, that unleashes those Fs that we were talking about. That unleashes the freedom. That unleashes the flexibility. When you have predictability and consistency, you can now forecast out and plan. I can take a month off in August, because I know
what my income is going to be in August, whether I'm there or not. I couldn't do that 5 or 6 years ago. And every single person in here can do that. Like, you just have to, you have to come up with your non-negotiables and build your business around those. And don't ever sacrifice those non-negotiables. The second you do is the second you despise your business again. One of mine was work on my business with singular focus. My previous life was like, I'd have this business and this one and this project and this one. I'm thinking I'm cool because I have like 8,000 things going on, right? The cool serial entrepreneur guy. Okay. It's cool if you do a business and then set it up to where it can run without you if you want it to, or sell it and then do another one. It's not cool if you have 6 different businesses that you're running all of them and they're all half-ass and they're all doing way worse than they could. And none of them are actually going out there lighting up the world like they should be. That's not cool. So that was another one. One of them was have a mission and know it at my core. It's like, we know here at Carrot what our mission is in this business. Part of it is local. Like, we really want to bring a lot of attention and eyes to Roseburg and rural America as much as we can over this next 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. That, hey, you can build a business like this in Roseburg. I was fortunate enough to be on the Portland Business Journal 40 Under 40 this last year. The only rural entrepreneur except for 1 out of 40 people. And go, man, that's not a Trevor story. That's like a Roseburg story. That's, you can do this thing anywhere. And that's cool. So we're going out there to really build this business in a big way to draw eyes to Roseburg. How can we get more people to come here? How can we get more people to not leave here? Because they go, well, if they can build that kind of business here, do I really have to move to Portland or to Bend to do this? You don't. Maybe. I mean, depends on the type of business. If you want to start a ski shop, you probably shouldn't do it here. But and there's a couple other non-negotiables that just changed my life. And those are things that anytime I feel like my role is like weird, I'm like, man, am I really loving what I'm doing? Which that happens no matter what. You can be a unicorn rider and like get into Thursday and not like your work on a Thursday. It doesn't matter what kind of work you're doing. But you need to go back and go, okay, if like Steve Jobs said in a commencement address at Stanford years and years ago, one thing that hit me is he said, I'd look in the mirror and if for too many days in a row, I would, you know, I'd ask myself, if for too many days in a row I was not looking forward to what I was going to do that day, then you need to change something. And that's what I do now. Like, if there's 3, 4, 5, 6 days in a row where I'm just not really pumped about what I'm doing, I pull back and go, okay, I get a hold of Jen, my assistant, let me cut my calendar, and then I'm going to start, like, to look at my non-negotiables again, look at the things that fired me up originally about my business, reschedule my things over the next couple weeks, then I'm going to reset back into that. And then that helps me in a big way, because we all go through those cycles. Like I said, no matter what business you run, you know, the owner of Disneyland or whatever, like, you are going to run into spots where you don't like the work you're doing. You got to have a mechanism to pull out and then focus in on what it was in the first place. And then adjust those things in your business that are causing that pain. And I could go off on that for hours. But I don't really have a ton of structure there. Like I said, this last little bit. But one thing I just want to leave with, and we'll have open up for a few questions, is it sounds corny, but like, the people in this room and the people, you know, the hundreds of people who have been to Yes Meetups and the businesses that we've helped inspire and the customers we have at Carrot and the customers you guys have and just everyone that you're able to reach. The world, people have probably been saying this for 1,000 years, but like, the world's kind of crazy right now, right? And people are looking towards people like us to lead us through this stuff. And If we're so trapped in our businesses that we can't actually pull away and solve the real problems in the world, it's like, man, are we actually serving our true purpose? Are we actually going out there and utilizing this body, the mind, the resources around us that are here to make our biggest difference? Are we actually doing that if we have a business that traps us, if we have a business or a job that we don't enjoy? And I'd argue for every single person here that you're never going to regret in 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, whatever that time span is, you're never going to regret taking a chance on yourself to fully unleash what your best version of you is. It's hard. I was talking with a guy, an Uber driver in Boise about a month ago. This guy, he was talking about his work. His work seemed insanely exciting to me. Like, yeah, he's an archaeologist. He's out there, like, digging up awesome stuff. And he's talking about all this cool stuff. And then he He's like, what are you guys doing? And I'm like, yeah, we're here for this thing. And he's like, oh, that's really, really cool. I've been trying to start an online business. I'm like, why are you trying to start? Like, you have like the most interesting work in the world. It's so cool what you're doing. And he's like, man, I hate my work. Hate it. I've hated it for 10 years. It's a paycheck. I feel like I'm wasting my time. I've got kids at home. I feel like I go to work. I punch the clock. I do the work. I come home. I'm too tired for my kids. Then I have this business idea on the side. I'm too tired for it. I don't really know how to do it. Like, where do I find people to network with? Like, what do I need to do next? I'm like, dude. And he just goes like, I'm just really not sure what I need to do. I'm like, well, do you need to do something? Like, you need to do it now because your kids are young. You're an example for them. And what is that example that we want to put out to our kids, our friends, our family, people in this room, that we don't give ourselves enough credit to go out there and do our best? That we're too scared to go find the best version of ourselves, that we're too scared or don't want to go through that discomfort to go out there and help everyone else, help you find the best version of you. I owe it to you and every single person here to help you guys find the best version of that. And I'll be unapologetic about it. If you're in my office and we talk about certain things, like, that's not what you should be doing. Life is way short. Change it. I expect you guys to do the same thing to me. Right? Sean and I have had some conversations very recently. This is one of them, the gym. It's like, man, I was literally killing myself, not staying in shape for 6 years in a row. And so we were sitting there, it's like, am I actually going to be serving my family, my friends, the world well if I'm not healthy, if I'm not staying in shape today? The answer was no. So we're like, this isn't a goal. This is a mindset. I'll finish with this. I stopped making goals around the things that are hard for me to do. Like, I think goals are a normal thing, right? Make a goal. Here's where you want to be, you make a goal. Goals are amazing. For me, what a goal is something that I hope to do that's specific, right? I want to get to this thing. I hope to do this thing by this time. What was wrong with me with goals like that, with things that over and over again I would actually not achieve, like fitness every year. I mean, best fitness of my life this year. I'm going to finally get in shape this year. Every single year I wouldn't do that. Or I'm going to finally spend more time with family, or I'm going to finally spend more time with X, or whatever it is. And I'd roll it into the next year. November would come around. There's another year I didn't do that. January, I'd roll it in. I'd make a goal around it. This October, I was just looking at this year. I'm like, you know what? I'm not making a goal anymore. It's 100% happening. So there's no reason about making a goal because it's just happening. And what are the things that are getting in my way of doing that? If I can eliminate those things, if I can eliminate those 1, 2, 3 things that are stopping me from doing that, what would guarantee my success in doing that? So no longer did I say my goal is to do this or work out 3 times a week. I'm like, the 3 times a week is a given if I eliminate these barriers. So the barriers were proximity. Even though there's a gym across the street that I've been a member of, I wouldn't go. Okay, so obviously it has to be in front of me where I walk by it every day. Okay, number two, I always make excuses on, like, I don't know what to do to work out. Like, I'd go in there and do the same thing. I'm always doing arm curls and like whatever it is. So I'm like, oh, I don't really have a workout plan. And every time I do it, it's just hard. And then I end up just doing the same things and I end up not liking my workouts and I don't go. So I'm like, okay, personal trainer, that's an easy one. And then it's like accountability. Well, yeah, it's easy for me just not to show up. And okay, ask Sean, hey, do you guys want to get in shape too? Ask Levi, you want to get in shape too? Cool, we're all here. So in October, we started building the gym. Personal trainer comes in 3 times a week and we work out. And our mission is not to get in shape, it's for fellowship. It's to come and get to know each other better, have fellowship those 3 times a week. And oh, by the way, we happen to be getting in good shape at the same time. So that is how, like, literally within a day, I completely blasted through this issue I had for 6 years. 6 years solved in a day. And that's something I really want you guys all to look at, those big things that you want to change in your life, too. Stop making goals around them and go, okay, number one, be convicted that this isn't a goal I'm setting. Like, it's happening. It's already happened in your brain. It has to already happen in your brain. The second thing, what are the things that if I get them out of the way will absolutely 100% guarantee my success in it? It's usually probably 1, 2, 3 things, that's it. And then do it right then. When I wrote those things down, I brought Jen in. one of those things for me was like, well, I'll probably not actually make the phone calls to find a personal trainer. If I actually, okay, well, cool. Jen, I really need your help. Can you find 4 personal trainers that match this criteria? Go find them, and then we'll decide on one by Friday. Cool. So we did. So I just encourage you guys to find that one thing that's holding you back this year. Get convicted about it. Make it happen in your brain. Don't make it a goal. And then write down the barriers and act on those within 8 hours. Within 8 hours, you have to. One last thing, as an example, with that Jake on our team. Amazing guy. Just didn't grow up in a very social environment. Very smart guy, very giving, really loving guy, but he just struggles to communicate verbally. And he struggles with confidence, like massive, massive confidence struggle. But he's a smart dude, and he's really funny in the typed word. He just doesn't communicate well this way. So at the end of the quarter, one of his goals was to build a relationship with our team members. He lives here in Roseburg. Was to build a relationship with our team members better. I said, well, how do you want to do that? He goes, well, maybe going to lunch. I'm like, cool, go to lunch. So how many lunches do you want to have this quarter? I think maybe 3. I'm like, cool, that's really achievable. So we get to our one-on-ones in January. We go through those quarterly goals. Like, all right, Jake, let's go through these. How'd you do in that one? Nah, I didn't do it. How'd you do in that one? How many lunches did you have? None. Okay. So 2 quarters in a row, he had that goal, to reach out to team members and ask them to lunch. Something that a lot of us would think is really simple. For him, he struggles at it. And so we sat there, and I'm like, so what should we do, man, for the first quarter? And he goes, well, I'd like to carry that one forward. I'm like, okay, let's carry it forward. But let's make sure it happens this time. And those goals, we call them SMART goals, are tied to your bonus at Carrot. So I said, okay, we're gonna shift it up. Because I know if you go into the same pattern and say that that's your goal, and you've just got to go do 3 lunches, you're probably going to do no lunches again. So let's make this your goal. I'm going to write down, this isn't your goal. Your goal is within 2 hours, ask a person to lunch. Within 2 hours of now. Like, that's what your bonus is tied at. Asking a person within 2 hours to lunch. And I said, I don't care if it's me or Sean or whatever. And about 15 minutes later, I get a little message. Would you like to go to lunch next week? So we did. We went to sushi. We had a great time. And he immediately, when he got back, he asked someone else out to lunch, which is pretty cool. So that's kind of the magic in not setting goals and finding the things that eliminate those barriers that are in your way. For him, the barrier was getting back into his normal life. And then, oh my gosh, I'm just not going to ask someone. I'm like, you got to ask someone in 2 hours. Why is this going to cost you like $1,000, basically? So he did. It was pretty cool. So I'm going to quit rambling. But I appreciate you guys listening to my ramble. And we'll open it up for some Q&A. I don't know if you have any questions or if anyone even has any questions about it. But toss questions at me. It could be about this. It could be about anything at all.
You seem to be a fairly self-motivated person. However, all of us at one point or another lose it for yep. some reason. We just go off someplace else. But something else has to keep you going. Who or what else gets you going when you're not being self-motivated?
So here's an example. And this sounds weird, right? But so I truly feel that when you can show up in the world and for me, like, it be a beacon of positivity and possibilities, like something I love. It doesn't roll off the tongue very well, but I love the fact that every single one of us, if we did nothing else, we could walk out of the store and make someone else's life that much more better in an instant, right? So for me, it's literally as simple as that. It's that if I don't show up today, and if I show up in a negative way, if I show up with bad energy, which I do that at work sometimes, maybe 1 out of 20 days or something like that, but it's like, if I just don't show up and be that beacon, who's going to do it? And this is probably a pretty far stretch, but there's like, so we work with thousands of companies, and we get so many notes every single day from companies that we work with to say that you are the experience I had with you is better than any company I've ever experienced. Or one person in there, which made me smile, because this is one thing I said when we started the company. I'm like, man, someday people are going to compare us to Disney. that, you know, that they have, that we have that type of experience, but in software. And this guy sent in an email and he said, in different words, people go to Disney to learn something, like they should be going to you guys to learn customer support and experience. I'm like, that is awesome. So the reason I'm saying this is every interaction, everything that we actually have a chance to do, people receive it, and then they, and then depending on how you deliver it, they can amplify that or they can just absorb it and it goes nowhere. And for me, that's what fires me up. Like, I just know that I can wallow in my own sorrow. I can feel bad about myself. I can be negative, which is going to rub off on everyone around me. Or I can be the opposite, which is also going to rub off on everyone around me. And let's go back to the school shooting here. Once again, this is a far stretch, but possibly, maybe not. What if someone had the same mindset that that person was in class with, that he saw that day, that he met earlier the day before, that someone did something different in his day because they show up in life differently, that could possibly have changed the course of what he decided to do. And that honestly, like, that's it. It's as simple as that, man. It's not the money side of it. Like, the money side of it was just this amazing thing that came as a byproduct of doing it this way. But it's as simple as that, man. It's like, I think everyone here, even if you're negative or even if you're beating yourself up on goals, has one thing that you can 100% accomplish today, and that's making at least one person have a better life and a better day, and be that butterfly effect for them to do the same thing.
It's an interesting observation. I used to work in high-end sales, non-retired. But one of the things that came out of one of our training things and so forth, but it dovetails right into what you were pointing out with this sheet and so forth. If you can get there in a conversation with a potential client and sort of, you know, I don't have to say it exactly this way, but pretty close to it, if you can get to the point where you can ask that client a question, basically says, what is critical for you to be successful within the next year? And it could be anything, personal life, you name it. And you wouldn't believe, you know, the waterfall. And once you do that, what you were talking about, what I'm talking about in terms of my marketing efforts,
yeah,
in terms of that value add proposition, if you're now talking from the gadget level up to here, where this person wants to spend more time with their family, you can dovetail the positioning of your goods or services to show the value proposition up here.
Mm-hmm.
And another quick observation, too. Getting started today, and like you're saying, I'm trying to get away from something and so forth. I hosted hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of customer dinners at restaurants all over the world. Okay? And I could always tell, and where I'm going with this is, always be the best at whatever you're doing. Try for that excellence where you are right now. Because if you want to be a successful entrepreneur and you don't have that in your DNA, you're not going to be successful. And I could always tell with a waiter, when they would come to the table, the ones that said, well, I'm actually in grad school and I'm just, you know, biding my time here because after all, I'm going to be, an MBA bigwig. And I could read those guys like the big antenna coming out, and I cut their tip in half every time. Or I see that other person that says, you know, they were really busting home, make sure everything went perfectly with, you know, and you just give them a really big tip and I tell them exactly.
Yeah. It's such a big deal. Like, here at Carrot, one thing that we started 2-3 years ago was around Christmas. It was a lot easier when we only had like 7 or 8 people, but I'd give everyone on our team, in addition to the normal Christmas bonus stuff, I'd give them all $100 bill. And I'd say, your only criteria with this $100 bill, it's 520s, which is made easier to do, but $100, is you have to give this, have to do something for someone else. You have to do something for someone else with this money that you currently do not know. Between now and Christmas. So that was the only criteria. And my whole mission with that was, even within our company, going, okay, it's easy to get in the day-to-day of your work and the day-to-day of that grind or whatever it is, but if we can pop out and kind of have that humanity and see that something simple can really change someone's day or their life, we can start to then build that within our culture and teach our whole team members how to give right now, how to really appreciate that. So some of those stories are really cool. You know, it gets a little bit more expensive now with more team members, but it's like even better because you hear more awesome stories. Pete, as an example, from Baltimore on our team, he got his $100 and he went out there and he bought a bunch of gloves and stocking caps and like just supplies, basic supplies for homeless people. And Baltimore has a big homeless population. So he went out there and was giving these to people. But he said, I took the extra step and I didn't just give them to people. He said, I actually sat there and talked with them. Like, I gave them these supplies and talked to them and heard their story. And he's like, man, he goes, I thought I was just showing up to give them stuff, you know, hoping to be a little bit warmer. He goes, man, I heard stories that, you know, that are going to change my life. And he goes, this thing right here, I'm going to keep doing it. And I don't remember what the exact number was, but he's like, my friends saw it. He's like, they're involved now. They're like pitching in money for it. And he goes, we might like start an actual thing, like a whole thing where they're raising money and they're doing this thing to go out there and connect with the homeless community. It was something, he had no tie to the homeless community, anything. Didn't do any volunteering, doing nothing. We give him $100 and a challenge to get to use this money to brighten someone's day. And he goes out there and does it. And it's like, man, that's something there. I know with me and my kids, kind of something similar. Like I was putting pressure on myself. I think we all do that. A lot of us, maybe not all, I do. But we put pressure on ourselves like, oh my gosh, I've got to do something so amazing with this donation or so amazing with this. You're trying to think of the perfect thing, right? But in actuality, it's like you just need to do something. And so it was Christmas Eve. I still hadn't taken $100 and did anything. So I was trying to think of this amazing thing. For a selfish reason, honestly, probably looking back now, because I wanted to be able to tell a cool story to our team, right? Here's a cool thing I did. And we were driving in Klamath Falls down the street. There was a guy, you know, Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock or whatever, beat up truck off the side. It was like snowing and sleeting. It was just freezing cold out there. He's out there selling flowers. And you could tell this guy did not have money. I don't know how he got the flowers. His truck was just in shambles. His clothes were just a complete mess. And he's out there selling flowers in front of the Bi-Mart. And I turned around, and me and Colton, my little boy, I think he's like 3 years old at that time, we go, two or three, we go in there, and like, hey, dude, how much are the flowers? And it was just like one flower with baby's breath around or something like that, a little bouquet. He goes, they're $10 a piece. He goes, but if you want them all, like, I'll sell them all to you for X, whatever it was. And he's like, he just wanted to get out of there because it's freezing cold and it's Christmas Eve. And I'm like, all right, sweet, it's $100. It was like 20 or 30 bouquets of flowers. I'm like, all right, we got all these flowers. We're going to get these flowers now. And so we put them in there. Me and Colton were sitting and driving around. And I remember my grandpa and my grandma had spent some time in an old folks home, like quite a bit. So you kind of go in there and you start to feel that and go, man, there's people in here who just don't have family. And it's a really vulnerable part of life. So we drove down to an old folks home. We walk out there with 25 bouquets of flowers or whatever it was. We walk in there like, hey, can we walk around and give these flowers to the ladies? And so me and Colton started walking around there. And this little dude, you know, they're like, yeah, just go up there and knock on doors. There's open doors. Like, open doors? I can just go in there. That seems weird. So we would go to the ones with the doors were open, and I'd give Colton a flower, and he'd walk in there and give it to the lady. And some of them cried. Some of them said that they don't have any family in town, so we were the only ones there. A lot of them gave him hugs, you know, things like that. And it was just amazing. And the grandmas were just so appreciative. And we got done with it, and Colton actually named it. He said we were giving flowers to other grandmas. So it's like, it's our thing now. Every single year we do flowers for other grandmas. And last year we did it. McKinley, our oldest daughter, wanted to do it. Sydney wanted to do it. We went into Fred Meyer and we're like stocking up on all these flowers because we took the $100. It's just our family tradition now. We put more money in it. And go in there and I'm like buying all these flowers from Fred Meyer and trying to find the cheapest ones so we can give, you know, a lot of grandmas some stuff. And then the lady's like, what are you guys doing with all those flowers? You know, buying them and taking them to the old folks' home and giving them to the grandmas to help kind of brighten their Christmas Eve. And she's like, so buy those ones. There's like maybe 20 bouquets. She's like, just buy those ones. We're going to give you all these. And so we went and bought them. And then she gives us, like, you know those flower things at the stores where it's the big, huge tub that holds the rest of them? She gave us 4 tubs of flowers. And she goes, you guys are doing awesome stuff. And I'll wrap up the point of this here. So we go down there with tubs of flowers this time. And we had so many flowers that we had too many flowers. We had flowers left over. So we went to another old folks' home, gave them more. Kids got pictures with the grandmas. Grandmas were just hugging and, you know, everything. They were just so appreciative. We come back this year and went to Fred Meyer, happened to be the same lady at the flower shop. We start to buy flowers. She goes, are you the same? Are you guys the same ones from last year that came in? I'm like, yeah, we are. She goes, well, we don't have those flowers that you guys bought last year that we gave to you, because it was the ones that were kind of, they were still looking really good, but it was the ones that were going away. You know, they discounted them down. They still looked really good. And she's like, we actually took them over to the old folks and we donated a lot this week. So that was pretty cool. But it's like those little acts can start to amplify people. You know, it's pretty cool. Like I get choked up over this stuff. It's like, man, it's fun.
Well, that's a good note to end on, right? Thanks, Trevor.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
As I was re-listening to that talk, there are a couple things that popped up. Number one, like I said, I'm a lot less animated on that talk than normal. So hopefully it didn't put you to sleep. But hopefully you also pulled away a few nuggets, because in my journey, I've found it so, so, so fulfilling, but also so rewarding financially when we actually find ways to give. You actually find ways to go out there and create in your business or in the community, the people around you, giving opportunities. So what giving opportunities do you have, number one, and how can you inspire others to do it, just like I talked about on here with my Flowers for Other Grandmas initiative and some other things, okay? The next thing I want you to take away from this is, I don't care what business you're in. I don't care if you own your own business. I don't care if you have a job. I don't care any of that stuff. Life is short and precious, y'all. Okay, life is short and precious. And the second that we take it for granted, the second that we kind of dig in and just do the day's work without really going, man, I'm fired up about where this day's work is going. If you do that too many days in a row, like Steve Jobs says, you really need to reevaluate your life and reevaluate your profession and figure out what you're going to do next. Okay, I do not want anyone settling in life. I don't want anyone being scared for what's next or what's bigger. I don't want anyone coming back and going, well, if I do this though, here's what might happen. Flip your risk profile. Flip your risk profile and start to think about life in a different way. What will happen if I don't do this? Okay, what will happen if I don't do this? And start to live with that lens on your life. I think it's going to change the way you think about life. Okay, but once again, go to oncarrot.com/energy. Get the energy audit worksheet. Do that quarterly. It's going to change your life the way that it changed mine if you implement it. And also, we've got some other amazing episodes. We're going to be doing a whole string of case study calls with Carrot clients. Some of the largest home buyers and agents in the country are coming onto the Carrot Cast here shortly. And we want your questions. Send your questions to me directly, trevor@oncarrot.com, if you have any particular topics you want me to connect you with. And also share up this episode. Share it up on Facebook. Share it up on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram. I'm doing a lot of Instagram stuff now these days. It is just trevor.mauch, M-A-U-C-H. Go follow me over there and kind of see what I'm up to. See the pictures I take of the views around here, the pictures and the things around my office, and just the Instagram stories are pretty darn fun. So go follow me on Instagram, trevor.mauch. That's M-A-U-C-H. All right. Have an amazing rest of the week. Go unleash yourself. Unleash yourself in your business. Go out to be that beacon of positivity and possibility for people and grow the business. I don't care if you're a real estate agent, real estate investor, sell posters or toilets or whatever it is. Okay. Go out there and live an amplified life. We want to unleash you. We want to help you create that consistent, predictable income so you can really gain the freedom, flexibility, and finances you're looking for. All right. Have an amazing rest of the week. Give us a review. We'll talk soon.